Hello, everybody. I'm Luca Lanotte.
And I'm Anna Cappellini.
Hi, this is Megan Duhamel.
And I'm Eric Radford.
Hi, this is Brian Boitano.
Hi, my name is Evgeny Medvedev.
Hey, I'm Caitlin Osmond.
Hey, guys, this is Nathan Chen.
Hi, I'm Madison Hubble.
And I'm Zach Donahue.
Hi, everybody. It's Matteo Rizzo from Italy, and this is High Stalk.
It is now April. Spring is here, and figure skating is enjoying its off-season. Or for some people, the show season, but that doesn't keep me from reminiscing more about the past few months of incredible skating. This is episode 69 of Ice Talk, and I am Jackie Wong of rockerskating.com. If you didn't get a chance to listen to my Worlds recap with Lynn Rutherford last week, definitely go back and listen to it on Apple Podcasts or on icenetwork.com. She and I chatted a whole lot about what happened in Milano, and in fact, we had so much to talk about that a good bit of it was left on the cutting room floor. But this week on the podcast, we have three Olympians on to talk about their seasons. Later on in the podcast, it's going to be Canadian bronze medalist Kirsten Moore-Towers and Michael Marinaro. But first up, I have world junior bronze medalist and Italian champion Matteo Rizzo with me on the podcast. Great to have you on today.
Hello, everybody.
It has been 2 weeks since the World Championships in Milano at home for you. I know you haven't had much of a break yet, but what have you been up to since Milano?
Oh, well, I went to visit a little bit of Italy with my parents and with my grandparents. Never stopped skating, of course. Not yet.
Not yet.
But the vacation are really close to me.
Of all people, you have been skating a lot this season. I count 10 international competitions for you, 3 junior, 7 senior, plus the Italian championships. How are you not just like in bed sleeping for, you know, months at a time?
Actually, I did 12 because I 12. Count I count Olympics as 2 because I did team event and individual. But it's whatever. I think I work really good. Also with the relax of the season and so the down, it was very important to calculate that. And I don't know, I feel good right now.
You could just keep going for another...
Yes.
Any
through
more...
the next one.
Yeah, right. Any more vacation plans coming up, or are you back in on training?
Oh, no, I will do vacation in June, of course, maybe 1 or 2 weeks. But right now I have to do new programs and a lot of stuff. So keep skating.
That's exciting. Now, you're 19 and you are still pretty new to the major international senior competitions. And certainly a lot of fans in the world got to know you this season, especially at the Olympics. Like you said, you had 4 programs there.
Yeah.
I kept being like, oh, right. I've listened to this short program so many times now between practices and competition. It was great seeing you just out there over and over again. I know you come from a figure skating family.
Yes.
So tell me a bit about how you got into skating and your last few years on the international scene.
Oh, what can I say? When I was like 4 years old, I was already on the ice with my parents just to stay with them because they were coaching. So I said, okay, I want to stay with my mom and with my dad. So I was already on the ice. Then when I was 6, I did my first competition. And from there, it all started going and going on. What can I say about the international? I hope next year will be, of course, better on results. But this year was already good. Yeah. I cannot say anything.
We'll talk a little bit more about this season in a little bit. I have to say that Italy is very much known for roller skating, especially I think when you were growing up.
Yeah.
Figure skating wasn't as big of a deal in Italy as it is maybe now. Was there ever a point when you were like, maybe I should go into roller skating? Or was it just like because your family was in figure skating, you're like, yeah, I'm doing figure skating?
Actually, no, because I actually never tried roller skating. Never. I'm scared, but
me too.
Right now, Italian figure skating world is getting bigger, which is good because more kids are coming and also the high level is growing. So I think it's especially last season with the Olympics result was awesome for skating in Italy. And right now I can see already a lot of kids are coming to try out and already having fun. So hopefully for next 4 years we'll be better and better. And
very cool. Well, who were your role models when you were growing up in figure skating?
When I was growing up, I think Evgeny Plushenko was the best. But right now I have changed my mind a little bit. Of course, changing. I really like my point in my head of figure skating. It's like Javier Fernandez. I know him. I'm a friend of him. So he's like my point.
Yeah.
Through him, like him.
Yeah, I mean, Evgeny Plushenko and Javier Fernandez. You can't get too much bigger than that.
No, actually, no.
They're pretty amazing skaters. Well, this year was very much a breakthrough year for you. Your first Italian title. Let me get this right. Top 10 at Europeans. 4 fantastic performances at the Olympics. First Italian man to win a medal at Junior Worlds. Top 20 at Worlds. What do you think has made the difference for you, especially with your consistency this season?
I worked really hard during the summer, during last summer. The work was great. My team, everything was great. So we started first competition. It was amazing. Already the points and especially the programs were good. So we said like, okay, let's keep this going. And it just went through the same, always the same. The results went out. The programs at the Olympics were just almost like my best of 4 programs.
Yeah.
So I was really happy with this. And especially at the end of the season in Worlds in Milan, I saw that it was keep going also in the 12 competition. So I said, okay, I also cannot stop here. I can keep going. I don't know.
What was, of all the things that you did this season, and you did a lot of things, what was the most memorable part of the season?
I think the team event in the Olympics, because it was a special competition. We never compete in a team. We always go in individual, so we are always kind of alone on the ice. But there it was a team, so it was your performance was for them, not just for you, for the Italy, I mean for the country. So it was amazing. I think it will stay with me a lot of time.
Yeah, I do want to go back to the Olympics a little bit. You were talking about the team event. 4th place there with the team, which was huge for Italia. Yeah. And what was it like to compete with the skaters that you competed with? I mean, it was such a kind of a magical team, right, that you had?
Yes, it was. It was really, because the Italian team this year was great. I mean, apart for me, because I was like the new one, all the others were great. A lot of results, world champion. What can I ask more? So I said to myself, okay, I have to skate clean instead. It won't be good enough. So I just relax and keep thinking about it. Then on the ice, when you're at the Olympics, it's just amazing. So the crowd, the people around you, the team, it's working very good. I don't know, it was special, like magic. So 4 programs clean, nothing to say.
What was the atmosphere like? I mean, you had Carolina Costner, you had Anna and Luca, you had Vale and Ondra, and you had Nicole and Matteo. And so like that, what was the atmosphere like with that? You were mentioning you were, you know, the kind of the young one on the team.
Yeah.
What kind of advice did they give you?
Oh, they gave me a lot of advice. Really, a lot. But I knew that because a lot of experience behind them. So I also asked them some advice to get to through the Olympic before the days before the Olympics and then the competition. So it was really amazing, especially with I have a good feeling with the Vale and Ondra because I trained with them. So especially with them was really great to speak before the competition and then, you know, thinking about also a medal because 4th place is not so far away from a medal.
We
spoke a lot about this and it was, anyway, was amazing to compete for them and with them.
You talked about Vale and Andre and training with them. Ice Lab in Bergamo is where you train. Tell me about that environment there. It seems like it's a growing hub of figure skating in Italy. What is the atmosphere like in Bergamo?
I think it's I don't want to say bad things about Italy, but I think it's the best place in Italy. It's very good. The ice rink is brand new because just 2 years ago we moved there from another ice rink in Milan. So the atmosphere, it's amazing. We all work together for a goal, which is always the same: to win, and skate clean and everything together. So I think for the future, especially for the next 4 years, that ice rink will be the point of Italy to keep working hard. And I think the president is doing a great job for this, and the coaches and all the athletes. So that all the team is working in one direction, which is very important. And I'm grateful that I'm in this team in Bergamo, in Ice Lab, so I cannot say anything.
I wanted to look back at your two programs this year. It's a more traditional, I would say, program for your short, and then you go with the Beatles for your free skate. Tell me a little bit about how those two programs came about and what it was that inspired you to go with the programs that you went with.
In the short program, I really thought about Italy. I wanted to have Italy with me always. So I chose this music, which is very famous in Italy, and also because of the World Championship in Italy. You know, the crowd knew the music. So yeah, that was the first thing about the programs. And then in the Beatles, it came from nothing. It came out from nowhere. I remember I was home here listening to music because the next day Massimo Scali, my choreographer, was coming to build the program, and I didn't know yet the music, so I said, okay, I have to choose something for tomorrow, because if not, I have nothing to tell him. So I said, okay, Beatles, yeah, it can work. So I listened with Massimo, and it was amazing. And then the first competition, everybody went to me and said, oh, that's good program, the music is nice. So I said, okay, it can be my long program for the season. It was great.
Well, it does seem like this season, if we look forward a little bit for Team Italia, this season might be a bit of an end of an era for some of the big names in Italian skating. Yeah. You represent the new generation of Italian skaters, and now that you've had this breakthrough season, what are your goals for next season and for the next few years?
For sure, 100%. I hope to have Grand Prix, the senior Grand Prix. I don't care where, but I hope to have at least one. The goal there is to be top 10. And then the goal again is to be Italian champion, and then to go to Europeans and to World Championship. But the main goal is to be consistent during all the season, and for the next 4 years, working really hard, not just on quads, but on quality of the skating, to get to the next Olympics in the best of shape, and why not trying to go for the medal. That's my goal, my thing.
Well, you certainly have some great role models to look up to with Yevgeny and Javier that you're talking about. Well, love it. I hope you have a great off season. I hope you enjoy your vacation wherever you end up going. And we're certainly looking forward to seeing more of you next season, Matteo. Thanks for being on Ice Talk today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Kristen Moore-Towers.
And Michael Marinaro.
And you're listening to Ice Talk.
Now we've got more Olympians and all around super cool people on Ice Talk. Kirsten Moore-Towers and Michael Marinaro are coming off the best season of their career so far. Third at Canadians, 11th at the Olympics, and 6th just a couple of weeks ago at the World Figure Skating Championships. So great to have the two of you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us. We're excited.
Yes, thank you for having us.
First things first, it's been 2 weeks since Worlds. How were your vacations?
Our vacations were good. We did a little bit of different things. We went our separate ways. We have 2 weeks off in June, so this is kind of just an unwind after a big season. So for me, I went to Vancouver and did some visiting there. Vancouver is my favorite place in the world, so I go any chance I can get. And it was good, pretty uneventful in comparison to Mike's trip, I'd say.
I spent a week in Venice with Andrew Poggi. We were touring around, went to a couple churches, some museums, ate a lot of really good food and some more really good food. And then in an unlucky turn of events, I either lost or had my passport stolen. I'm not sure which one.
Oh, no.
So I was passportless in Italy, which was not the best situation, but luckily the Canadian consulate helped me out and got me a emergency passport on very short notice before the Easter holiday to be able to get home. So it all worked out in the end.
And actually sent me a message asking for a picture of his passport page, which I have because I often check him in for his flight when we're flying. And I didn't think anything of it. He asked me for it. I thought he was just wanting to check in. So I was like, yeah, here you go. Until a few minutes later that he said, well, it hasn't been the best day.
Olympian passport down, right? I wonder if you being an Olympian helped expedite that process.
Yes, it definitely did. Because when I first went in there, they said I wasn't going to get home until after the long weekend. It's going to take 3 days after the long weekend to be able to get my passport. And the Canadian consulate in Italy stayed open 5 extra hours after they were planning on closing to make sure I got my passport before the holiday.
Thanks, so Italy.
Thank you very much.
We love you.
It meant a lot.
Wow. So that's for everybody listening out there. If you train your hardest for 15 years or whatever, however long you've been training and go to the Olympics, you might figure out how to get your passport back when you get it lost really fast.
Though we would recommend just probably not losing it.
Next time I travel, I'm definitely going to have a fanny pack with my passport in it.
I'm going to buy you one.
I think hashtag fanny packs for Michael Marinaro is going to start trending now. Adventures. But you know what? It's been quite a season for you. Quite a long season. You were basically competing from start to finish. Thinking back to the season as a whole for both of you separately, what is the one word or emotion that comes to mind for you?
I think for me, it's persistence. This year, we were definitely better, more well-trained, and obviously our skills had developed to a higher level. We were more consistent, but for 4 years, we've been very persistent. I don't feel like nothing has come easy for us since our partnership started, and that's okay. I think we anticipated it would be a little bit smoother than it was, however, definitely not smooth. On the other hand, we knew that it would take some work and take some hours put in, but it took us a long time, and I think it took us really until this season to start getting recognized as a team with potential, to stop getting compared to ourselves with our former partners, which was a big one for us because we were so happy in our partnership, and it was taking the public a while to catch up, and that's okay. But we were persistent, and finally it's starting to pay off.
Mike, what about you?
Definitely, just to add on there with the persistence. Last games, I was in a completely different spot, trying to take that third spot also, but coming up short. And I didn't want to let that happen again this year. So we started right at it at the beginning of June and had a much earlier start than we've had in our 4 seasons together. And because of us doing that, led to a successful season, but also to an extremely successful Worlds where we had to take time off going into Worlds, which was a success because we started so early, starting in June.
Yeah, I think that, I'm sure we'll get to that later, but like Mike said, we really had no training time from Olympics to Worlds, and had we not started our full run through so early, I think it would not have been possible to put out the performances that we did. So we're definitely grateful. And I know it's not always feasible to start so early, especially once you get into being a little bit more successful in the show world and having more opportunities in the off season, but we're looking to try and incorporate that kind of training into all of our seasons yes. together, because we do feel that it benefited us hugely.
I love that you preempted my later on question. And yes, we will go to Worlds and the Olympics later on in our chat here. Speaking of your partnership, take me back 4 years and tell me about how this partnership formed in the first place.
I will start with saying I think it was a little bit naive of me to think that it would be accepted as quickly as I felt like it would be accepted, especially with Dylan having a new partner in Lubov and then being so successful so early on. For myself, my naivety told me that, you know, this should be fine. We're really happy over here and they're really happy over there. And, you know, everyone should just be happy with more teams in Canada. And I understand that the public being so disapproving meant that we were doing our jobs and that we gave them something to like and something to miss. And I appreciate that. But for Mike and I, we felt it made sense to start a partnership then. And looking back, quite frankly, it took us 4 years to be here. So had we waited with our previous partners for another year or 2 years until, you know, they kind of dissolved fully, then I don't feel like we would have been as prepared for this Olympic season as we were. So at least for myself, I look back with no regrets. I got a lot of flack. And that's okay. You know, I'm a tough girl. I have a thick skin. I can take it. But I was always happy in my decision. And that doesn't mean that I didn't miss something that I used to have or someone that I used to skate with. And I think that that's okay. And I think probably Mike was in a similar situation there too. These are business relationships and they become tricky in figure skating because they're so interpersonal. You know, this is technically a business, but we go through so much together that it becomes more than that. And often we see that in partnerships. And I don't know, we did a tryout and it felt really right. And like I said, we thought that it would come together a little bit quicker than it did. And I think a change of environment was definitely required and necessary for us to speed that process up a little bit. But we don't regret it, and we don't regret the time that we started to make the change.
It's crazy because it's pair skating too, and skating fans know pair skaters as the pair, and they get really personally involved with it. And I think that's part of what you were talking about in terms of, like, you know, these are business relationships that have interpersonal things to it, and it's tough for folks to kind of see past the, like, oh, I'm so in love with this pair as opposed to I'm so in love with these two people as skaters, and they need to do what's best for them.
And people disagreed, and that's okay too. You know, you're allowed to have your opinion, and I respect your opinion just as I would hope that you would respect mine.
Mike, any thoughts from you?
It was definitely a big surprise post games last cycle, I guess, 4 years ago. I was not expecting to get the phone call from Kirsten at all. I had already started planning out the next season with the former partner. And then getting the call from Kirsten, realized I had to step back and take a look at my old partnership and realized that it was at the end and I needed to move on. And I was ready to step up to the plate and move full steam ahead with Kirsten and jump right in and be there for her on and off the ice and just put myself in the position to do the best I can for the partnership.
It was quite a change for both of you with this partnership. Your previous partners were completely different skaters, completely different relatively in proportion to the two of you. And yet the two of you gelled pretty quickly that first season and, like, came out.
You're so kind.
Well, but I mean, you guys came out like 3 or 4 months in and was in on Grand Prix already.
Yeah, we did get thrown in, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, how difficult was it to adjust that first season together?
I think it was tough. It was a tough one. And I think that a lot of it came down to the different roles that we were used to as well. And I'm not sure Mike and I have ever really talked about this, so this could be kind of speculation on my part. We'll see. This is the first time for all of you. But with my old partnership, I was used to not taking a backseat, but Dylan definitely took on the leadership role. And I was okay with that for the most part. You know, and our dynamic was definitely different than when I started skating with Mike. I felt like I was taking on more of the leadership role. Is that fair?
Yep, yep.
And I didn't like it, and it didn't fit. And I think it would appear to your listeners and maybe to the public that I run the show, and maybe to some extent on the ice I do. But in terms of, you know, team decisions and sort of directions we want to go, I really largely depend on Mike for these things. And at the beginning, when the partnership was kind of flipped, I think that in part was a huge factor in why it took us a little bit of time to gel and sort of figure out our place. And of course, we're hearing what everybody thinks, and everybody has their two cents, which we appreciate. We needed all the sense that we could get, but it steered us in a few different directions. And it wasn't until we moved to Montreal that we felt like we had a set plan and were able to move forward as a team with a clear, concise vision.
Yes, it definitely took a year or 2 years, even more than 2 years, for me to be able to step up into that leadership role and be comfortable at first.
Now he's so bossy.
I was going to say, whoever wears the sparkly gloves is the leader.
Carry on.
Big transition between the two partnerships was there was a big age difference between both of us in our old relationships, and now moving into this one, being the same age and in different spots in life, definitely created a new dynamic to deal with on the ice that wasn't exactly prepared for or wasn't confident enough to step right into. And so that took some time to come to light.
And I think neither of us knew what that would look like. I will add that Mike is 6 months older than me, as a side note, just for everyone's general.
We were
general...
both born in 1992.
just for everyone. Oh,
1992. Oh.
But I think, like I said, neither knew really what it would look like. And these were things that we didn't anticipate. When we were doing our tryouts, sort of our bodies matched and elements seemed to be working relatively quickly. And these are kind of the things that come later that you don't think about. And I don't think we put any thought into it. And we definitely didn't realize the magnitude that it would have on our success, for sure.
Yeah. Well, as an aside, 1992 was when I first got hooked into figure skating. So good year. It was a good
year.
There
you go. I was 2 years behind you.
Fast forwarding a little bit, your first Worlds was 2 years ago in Boston, and that probably came a little bit fast for you guys as well, but you finished eighth there. One of my most vivid memories of that season, of the past few seasons, was that triple twist, or the twist that never really got up in the air at Canadians. Your blades clipped on the entrance of the twist, and then you had a very scary fall. If you think about that time again, how did you recover from that at Canadians to get yourself to such a strong finish at your first Worlds?
Well, that Nationals, I suppose, was a succession of things that shouldn't have happened and did happen, and it kind of worked out in a weird way, and I'll explain. That sounds terrible. But we were obviously going into Nationals trying to make it on the world team, not as alternates, of course, as everybody does. And our first element of the competition obviously went so terribly wrong. And the rest of the program, neither of us remember. We remember our ending position. This was a different time. Now we're definitely more consistent. But then we were still getting used to the new technique of our new coaches. And we weren't very consistent, especially in our throws. So for us to have pulled that off after that big fall, we were super proud of ourselves and sort of relieved, I suppose, definitely relieved. But both of us dislocated ribs in that fall, and it would have been understandable, I think, had we pulled out of the free program, because we were kind of held together by tape and we were not in the running for Worlds anymore. We decided to do the long program for ourselves because we loved our program and we were there, and we feel that we're fighters. I think, like all figure skaters and, you know, all athletes, we all have something to prove, and maybe this time was just to ourselves. But we did this long program, and it wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good under the circumstances, and we still finished fourth, as you may remember. But being alternate for Worlds, we were willing to step up to the plate, and it provided us with an opportunity to compete at a World Championships. And had we not done the long program for ourselves, we wouldn't have that opportunity. We would have been out of the running to be alternates. So it was kind of a series of weird things that turned the season around for us. But it was tough, for sure.
Yes, definitely. That long program after the fall was by far the hardest performance of my career. I don't know about you, but
it was mine too. The Worlds, for sure.
Of my career, the short program, we fell, and we had so much adrenaline going. Before we knew it, we were in the ending pose. Skated clean after that. Didn't really know what happened, but it didn't. We didn't really feel it until a couple hours later. The next day, we could barely do a lift on the warm up. We skated for 10 minutes. On the practice before, on the day of the long, we skated for 10 minutes, could barely do a lift, but it was never an option for us to pull out. We were there skating up to this point. We knew we wanted to put our best effort forward and put out a long that we could. And luckily we did, because it put us in an alternate spot for Worlds, which we would have not been in that opportunity if we had have pulled out right there, which we so easily could have done.
And I think that competition, Nationals, was a bit of a turning point for us in the public. I think we gained some respect getting up from that fall and carrying on. And we liked that. That felt good. It felt nice to get a little bit of validation, because we had been working for this and striving and training, and nothing was really coming to us. So obviously that was not the way we wanted to prove our character, but it was helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what you were saying earlier about persistence. I mean, that's what got you through that season.
Kirsten likes to pull up the video from time to time, but I still do not like to rewatch that one.
Now I think it's a little funny.
I mean, you were airborne. Both of you were airborne.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Back to the obstacles. I mean, they just continued. Last season was pretty rough. I'd love to hear, Kirsten and Mike, both of you, about the concussion that you had, Kirsten, the summer of 2016, and really, like, how it changed your preparation for that season and ultimately for this Olympic season.
That injury changed my perception on myself, even as a human, as an athlete. It changed our partnership, changed the way I view skating. It was on August 3rd, and we were, I know the date, and we were working on our double axle half loop triple sow, and I fell, and Mike did not fall, and he ran into my head, and it wasn't a bad hit. It really wasn't. We've had a lot worse. Many people have had a lot worse blows to the head, but I think it was just in the precise place in my temple that it really shook my brain up a bit, and shook me up, quite frankly, as well. And I immediately knew that something was wrong. I was nauseous and sick immediately. And I am stubborn and usually heal pretty quickly. So I came back to skating the next day. We had summer provincials in 2 days and we competed. I felt like I could do the competition and then we would be able to heal and recover after. And I think because I was so persistent and stubborn with my healing time, I just prolonged the healing, and I suppose I prolonged being able to be better and to be symptom free. So I was nauseous and vomiting for 2 months almost every day. And so it came to at our team camp that we were obviously advised to get off the ice and to pull out of Salt Lake. And I should say that this is nobody's fault but mine. I had many people advising me to get off the ice sooner. I wasn't listening. I was being a little bit too persistent. And so I just need to clarify that this was not mismanagement. This was definitely my own fault. Just it took a lot of time. And so we stayed off the ice and we did different therapies. My biggest issue was that my visual cortex was damaged. So when my eyes were stimulated, which happens a lot that we don't realize on the ice because there's so much going on, I would become sick immediately. So I use my eyes a lot. So this became a pretty big problem in just my day-to-day life, and never mind sport. And when sport was taken away from me, I started kind of wondering who I was going to be outside of sport and how I was going to influence the world and how I wanted people to perceive me as Kirsten and not as Kirsten the pair skater or the figure skater or the athlete. And I think it changed our communication, Mike and I, and we valued every minute we had on the ice and every minute we had together. We missed each other and we missed skating. So while it was a difficult time, I think it changed the course of our partnership and of our career.
Yes, definitely. Being off the ice for that amount of time with no real time frame, just going day by day, definitely made us realize that every moment we have on the ice is special. Even from now moving forward, we don't take for granted any training day, anything. We know it can end like that. In a blink of an eye, it can be over. So we're trying to stay in the moment now, move forward, do everything we can on a daily basis. But that being said, the hardest part was definitely that there was no time frame. I would come in every day by myself, do the training, and I wouldn't know if Kirsten was going to be there tomorrow or the next day or in a week we were going to be back. Every day we would be in contact, but we never knew more than really 24 hours in advance. And knowing 24 hours in advance for 3-4 months is a very long and strenuous process.
And it's difficult to disappoint people as well. You know, I don't want to come in and say, I'm sorry, it's still not good. But we had a lot of days when I had to sort of say, I'm sorry, it's still not good. And so when we finally came back to skating, we were back at our Skate Canada Challenge, and then we did nationals and 4 continents. We were 3rd at nationals, but Julianne and Charlie were selected for the World Championships, which we totally understood. They had been to final twice. They had a much stronger profile, and what's the word I'm looking for? They were a stronger team. They had more experience, and we understood that, but it was under the condition that they were selected to go to Worlds, but Julianne had a concussion herself. So we were in a weird time frame of not really knowing if we should train, and I still wasn't 100% better, so we were wanting to take the time to stay off the ice, to take advantage of early off season so that we could be prepared for Olympic season. And over time, I started to feel better and better. I went to Europe and spent a couple weeks there, and came back, and there were, I believe we were the 4th alternate or 3rd alternates for World Team Trophy. And Eric was injured, we saw, in Helsinki at Worlds. And I believe Dylan and Lubov had a problem with passport. Papers or a passport, because Lubov wasn't a Canadian citizen yet. And then Julianne, I believe, had another concussion right before. So Mike and I had only a couple days, and we hadn't been training because Worlds was over. There was no reason for us to train our programs anymore. So we had, I believe, 2 or 3 training days from zero. And at this point, I had been feeling pretty healthy in terms of my head. And it had been, now we're April, and it had been since August that I was feeling good. But I thought that with training programs and with the travel to Japan and the jet lag, it was likely that I'd feel a little bit of pain again, and that was okay. I could push through it. I didn't feel like it was anything I couldn't handle. I felt like we were healthy enough to go. And we got to Japan, and we had kind of the stress of not having done a long in 6 weeks or whatever it was, and I felt perfectly fine, 100%. And that's when I knew that I was recovered, and it was a huge relief for me. And we had so much fun in Japan.
And ending the season with that, with the World Team Trophy experience and skating so well, definitely gave us huge momentum starting off this season. Starting off this season would not have been the same if we didn't go to that competition.
I agree.
Yeah, well, and World Team Trophy is, there's so much visual stimulation there with all the props and the craziness of, so.
Even with Dylan, I had never done it, so it was fun to have that experience and to share it with Mike.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, of course, this season, a lot was riding on the lead up to Canadians because of the Olympic spots, and you talked about how in the past you were maybe not the team that would have been considered to be kind of in that top three. And you look at the last four years, there have been 4 main pairs in Canada. And if you look at how Canadians have been scored over the past few seasons, you two are definitely coming in as underdogs. What What did you think at the beginning of the season as like what you could differentiate, what you could do to differentiate yourselves? And then for me, your turning point was Cup of China, right? So how did that play into your entire season and the lead up?
Well, you're definitely right. We knew that we were the fourth team for three spots heading into the season. And so we knew that we needed to take every opportunity to not necessarily be perfect, but be reliable. We knew that for us to have a shot in January, we needed for them to be able to count on us throughout the year. Because remember, last year with Julian and Charlie withdrawing from Nationals, we weren't sent to Worlds. So we knew that we needed a succession of reliable skates and good results to be considered. And I do believe it should be that way. Canada should send the three best, most reliable teams to Olympics and Worlds. And we wanted to be that for them. We didn't want to be in an alternate position. You know, we don't want to be the B team. It's not fun. So we set out at the beginning of the season and knew that each time we were going to be confident and be reliable and to be as consistent as we could. And hopefully by January, we would have built up a big enough case for ourselves that we were an option and one that they would elect to go for.
Yes, that had been what we had been working for the whole off season and fall. So getting that validation that we were going in the right direction and getting the positive feedback that the ball was rolling in the correct direction, we were just ready to continue on and keep the gas pedal down and just ride that momentum all the way into January.
We've had a few months since then, and a few months since then, you've now been to the Olympics. Kirsten, your second Olympics. Mike, your first Olympics. What were the things that you took away most from Pyeongchang?
Pyeongchang was super fun. I mean, we had a lot of questions for Mike if he looked to me for advice because I had done this before. And I'm so ashamed to say that I relied largely on Mike. I think that one of the strengths of our partnership is that we do support each other so evenly and equally. And though it was my second Olympics, it was very, very different and far different from the first in a multitude of reasons. But I don't know. I think this question is better suited for Mike because it was his first experience. But
I still can't even sum up the experience now, a couple months later. It was 10 times the experience I thought it was going to be. The camaraderie, Team Canada, meeting all the other athletes, hearing the stories from all the other sports and hearing about how different the sports were, but how similar our journeys were and all the adversity that we had to face to get there. Walking into the opening ceremony, having my family there, both my mom and dad, my brothers, my hometown made a huge GoFundMe and raised $20,000 for both my parents and both my brothers who would have not been able to get there to get there and be able to experience that with me, which was definitely a massive, massive part because I wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for the sacrifice and struggles that they went through as a family for me, for the sole purpose of me accomplishing that dream.
Go Marineros.
Go Marineros. The sauce made it. A couple of weeks ago, we had Worlds. It was a bit crazy. You ended up being the only Canadian pair to make it to the free skate, which was one of the craziest things that I've seen in recent memory. Kirsten, you were dealing with an ankle injury coming in. You were talking about not having much time to prepare for that competition.
Yeah, it was tough in a way that it changed the entire way we went about competitions. It's an injury to my right ankle.
Your landing ankle.
Yeah, my landing ankle, correct. So jumps were okay, but throws were terrible, excruciating pain. So we found in the practices leading up, we didn't train at all, I should say, until the week before. And then we were running programs with no throw and no twist, sometimes no jumps. Mike was doing the jumps always, but for me, I was unable to do most of the program. So what we found when we got to Worlds was as soon as I did one throw in practice, it was sort of game over. I was not really able to do anything after that because of the pain in my foot. So this sort of, we deducted that we can't warm up a throw because then I may be unable to do a program. So it really changed the way we warm up. It changed the way we prepared. So we went out on warm-up, and we were not busy. The days of a busy long program warm-up are behind us. we did a double jump and a triple jump, and Mike would lift me. But other than that, we weren't able to do a lot. And in our long program, it was the first time that we did two throws in a session. And only the third time we did two throws in one day. Never mind 5 minutes. So we were a little bit concerned that I would not be able to get to the end of the program. It was evident in our short program. I was hurt at the end, and I think it was evident on my face. But we're obviously thrilled that we pushed through it, and that was kind of our objective. We knew we needed to go because we had no alternates left in Canada. So if we didn't go, we were sending two teams, and we needed to be there to try and help to get three spots we wanted, but it turned out to help to get two spots. And I'm glad we did. It really brought out a strength in me that, and in Mike, of course, that I didn't really know we had. So I was proud of us. It was definitely the hardest one of my career thus far.
You know, pairs has changed so much and improved so much over the last couple of years. We saw it at Worlds. So few points separating so many of the top pairs in the world, especially in the short. How do you approach the conversation of trying to differentiate yourselves next season and going forward?
I think, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, we do need to put out a stronger short program. We know that we need to improve the level and the height of our twist every time. We're not naive. We understand the reality of the situation, and you know, we need a good strong short program to put us in a better group for the long program. I do feel like we have been rewarded for our long this season. It's not that I feel we've been ripped off. We haven't. But I think should we be more in the conversation in the short, we'll be able to make some moves in the long.
Yes, we definitely need to be putting ourselves in position to be competitive in the long program, not be climbing an uphill battle for the long program.
Yeah. Well, what's coming up for the next few months?
Well, I am still sort of in the process of getting a diagnosis on my ankle. We're fairly certain we know the problem, but not 100% sure. So we need to run some more tests and then figure out how to proceed, be it surgery or not. And then we'll see. We have some shows coming up. We have shows every weekend until the middle of May. So we're going to be busy. And then we'll be choreographing our programs in and around there and getting started all over again.
Well, it was fantastic having you on the podcast today. Make sure to get some R&R in and rest up for the next season. And thanks for chatting with me today.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
Well, thank you all for joining me for another episode of Ice Talk. I want to once again thank Matteo Rizzo and Kirsten Moore-Towers and Michael Marinaro for joining me on the podcast today. Don't forget that you can always relive the season and then some by listening to our archived episodes on Apple Podcasts or on icenetwork.com under the fans page. Ice Talk is produced by Kate Sullivan and edited by Mickey Brown. From the Ice Network studios in downtown Manhattan, I'm Jackie Wong. Stay cool, and we'll talk to you again soon.